You're listening to Election Night coverage on 1499.3 KLIN.
Election Night in Nebraska. I am Jack Mitchell leading you through the evening. We'll see how late we go. We're ready to go. Listen, I'll start at 6 a.m. tomorrow. No matter how long we go tonight, we're going to get you the results you're wondering about. I am glad you are with us. Long on my left, I got Tim Ruzza. On my right, I got Mark Vail. Chase Porter has been in the newsroom. He's across the table from me. We're going to talk to him in a moment.
I feel like I'm on an episode of Crossfire or something here.
It's
like,
great.
We got, one on the left. He's on the right.
I am glad you guys are with us. I think you're going to be glad you joined us tonight for our election coverage. One thing I want to mention is don't hesitate to use the Hunt Irrigation text line tonight. If you want to text us, if you got a question, if you got a comment, if you got something you want us to kind of chew on and break down throughout the course of the night, please go ahead and text us at 402-479-1400. We always do this during the morning show. It's always an open line. So please go ahead and use that on the Hunt Irrigation text line, 402-479-1400.
Just a couple of quick ones that have hit nationally. Trump is projected to win Florida, according to Newsmax, and South Carolina, according to ABC.
All right, there you go. A couple ones which he was likely, you know, expected to win there.
And Fox has now called Illinois, New Jersey, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Maryland, Rhode Island, and the District of Columbia for Harris Walz.
All right, and again, all ones that she was expected to win there. All right, let's talk about what's happening in Nebraska. 27 minutes away, by the way, from our first set of results. Can't wait to break those down. Tim and I can talk a little bit about what those are, but Chase Porter's here right now. Chase, first of all, welcome. How you doing tonight?
Yes, I'm good, doing well. You. It's been a busy day.
It has been a busy day. It's going to be a busy night. I was just saying there's one race that is going to be up for grabs tonight that maybe Nebraskans have been more well acquainted with than any other race in Nebraska political history, just because so much money and airtime was flooding TV, radio, everything. We know it on the morning show here. We know it on TV. And that, of course, is Osborne Fisher. You've had a chance to talk to the candidates, get a little bit more on this. Tell us what you've got on this.
Yes, I was running around town today like Jimmy Olsen trying to catch all of these candidates. And yeah, Osborne did a surprise kind of pop-up town hall almost on UNL's campus. And I stopped by to talk to him and I asked him what it was like to run in seemingly, like you said, one of the most competitive races in the country right now.
Well, it feels good. You know, I know this wasn't all me. This was a lot of people, just like the strike at Kellogg's. Me as president running that strike and our members, we couldn't have done it by ourselves. And the community came together, the state came together, the whole country came together to rally behind us. And that's what kept us going. That's what keeps me going every day, is knowing that I'm giving so many people hope for a better future. You know, that's why I got into this. And when I get elected, I'm gonna keep fighting for the same things.
What was really interesting, while we were standing there talking, students were just gathering around. It felt like a political movie or something like that. Yeah, it was kind of cool. I also had time to go to talk to Fisher, and she was also doing an event with Ricketts and Flood, and she said she wasn't taking this race for granted.
But I feel good. I'm out in the state. I know the support I have around the state of Nebraska. I feel good. Of course you're nervous. You're nervous when you wait, but you know, it's a race. We'll see what happens.
She seemed confident, but also wasn't, you know, closing it down.
She wasn't supposed to be nervous tonight. Hold on, she was not supposed to say tonight she was nervous about this race. Let's be straight about this, okay?
Like you said, it's been the most competitive, highest attention
and
race.
And none of us saw it coming.
No.
None of us at this table saw it. Well, maybe Haruza did. He's a genius.
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, if anybody who says they saw this coming is lying out their teeth. I think that there is no question that Dan Osborne has run an interesting campaign that's going to be considered for many years in this state and in other places. Like, is this a blip on the radar or is it for real?
Right.
I don't, to be clear, and I, you know, I maybe too early predictions, right? I don't think that Dan Osborne's going to win. I'm sorry if you're a Dan Osborne supporter, if you think that he's got a shot. I do not think that he is going to win tonight.
I have Fisher minus 2.5%.
But the simple fact that this has become a race and has taken over the airwaves. You can watch the Husker football game on Saturday without dueling ads for every 3-minute TV timeout that the Big Ten takes, right? Like, it's an incredible story in terms of the amount of money that's come in for a candidate who is not a Democrat on paper,
it's
right?
Crazy.
Like, according to his commercials, a lifelong independent, right? Right. Like, but like, it's a complete case study in politics in Nebraska, in politics in Midwestern states, in the rise of sort of union politics and what it means to be a blue collar worker running, but also what it means to ditch the Democrat title, the D in parentheses next to your name, in a race against a Republican in a solid red state. Yeah. And I think that's the bigger thing here for me, the story of how valuable it was to him to keep a third candidate with that D by their name off the ballot to allow him a pathway toward amassing enough protest votes to have a shot at this.
Right.
And I don't know what the number will be. That is the key story here is how do you thread that needle so that you can be the independent and get the support of both Democrats and the middle vote to take a shot at it.
He garnered a lot of Democrat money from national sources.
I know, and that's
that's the part that just confused me. When he dissed the Nebraska Democrats, the national Republicans the national Democrats just poured money in.
And I think that is probably a response to the fact that the larger picture, right, the control of the Senate being so volatile, right, on the razor's edge nationally. And I think that's probably where you see the Democrats come in. And then you have that question, too, which we've heard on TV. Is he a Democrat or a real independent? And what does that mean? Right. So I think that's been litigated on TV and all of the advertisements. And the party ended up picking the side. But the only reason that he comes through as an I is because they didn't field a candidate.
All right, I hear the music. We need to take a break. Let's do that. You're listening to Election Cover. By the way, text line's open. Hunt Irrigation text line, 402-479-1400. You got thoughts? You think, well, one of us said something stupid, especially Tim? Text that in at 402-479-1400. Questions, whatever you want.
We're going to be writing campaign jingles here.
Let's go
during
here.
The break.
Let's go. It's the new wave.
Text us your campaign jingle.
That's going to be
pick
the
a candidate,
big,
write
that's
a jingle.
The big legacy of Osborne is campaign jingles are back. 745. 15 minutes till Nebraska results. Coming up next, KLIN.
This is Nebraska election coverage presented by James Arthur Vineyards on the Voice of Lincoln, 1499.3 KLIN.
All right, we are now into the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Jack Mitchell along with Tim Ruzza, Stephen Hardesty in our studios, and we've got Chase Porter, Tom Stanton in the KLIN newsroom. Tom Stanton actually is in the studio with us. We're going to give you the latest. Got just incremental updates here from the state. Are expecting a pretty big drop of results from Lancaster County within the next 10 minutes.
Ooh.
But
Sorry.
Yes?
We just got another dump of votes on the Secretary of State's website. And I guess at least in the abortion initiative following 434 has now flipped to 4.
Yeah.
It is now winning.
Yep, I saw that a few minutes ago. So yeah.
As of 10:05 here.
You check those out. We'll get all of those here in just a second. Let's go to Tom Stanton now. I believe you talked with the Bacon campaign, is that right?
Yeah, just about 30 minutes ago, Matthew Zacher is the campaign manager. And despite trailing Tony Vargas right now, he told me that he's confident and he's optimistic that things will turn around.
We have tens of thousands of votes outstanding from Election Day votes in Douglas County. We have the bulk of the votes still outstanding in Sarpy and Saunders County. We're down about 6,000 votes. So we feel really strongly that the bulk of the remaining vote is Republican Don Bacon.
So there you go, optimism, and still a ways to go.
Saunders and Sarpy County are going to be, and there's a reason when you look at redistricting in 2021, there's a reason that those two counties were added and kept in that district, which is to help provide a little bit of support here to the Republican candidates in that district, right? So that's what they're hoping for. They hope they break big yep. time on the red side.
And right now, the latest number we've got, Vargas still leads at 51.26% to 48.74%. That's about a quarter of a million votes that have been counted at this point. So I guess the question is going to be, guys, where the rest of those votes are coming from exactly in that area for District 2. So there you go. All right. Anything else for us right now, Tom?
We just got off the phone, or Chase is getting off the phone with Krista Eggers.
Okay.
And we'll have that soon.
I mean, I don't know if they've called it yet, or they, you know, I will say this.
Very excited.
On the ballot measures, the Support Our Schools group has already put out a press release declaring victory.
Yep. Yes, they have.
And the numbers on that right now, so that would be 435. 58-41. Medical marijuana is up a whole lot more than that at this point. So if they're declaring victory at this point, medical marijuana is probably okay too. So it'll be interesting to see what
Krista
has
excited.
To say. She will. Now she has to go to court, though. So, yeah. Yes. All right. Thank you, Tom.
You're
appreciate the very latest on that. Chase Porter in here. Chase, what have you been working on? What do you got for us?
Yeah, let's stay on the ballot initiatives a little bit. Jack, can we hear the percentages on those two medical marijuana ones?
For sure. Not close. What we've got. There's two of them. So, interestingly enough, there's kind of a difference between they're meant to be sort of voted on in tandem. 437 is the first one. That's at 72% to 27. 438 is the second one. That's at 68 to 31. Both really commanding leads. In terms of raw votes, we're almost talking, 200,000-ish votes for each of them on that point. They're very safe, I would say, at this point.
I would say so. So much so, we got in contact with the campaign manager, Krista Eggers, and I was able to give her some of those numbers live. She had not heard them before. And I had a good conversation with her, and particularly if you know her story, it's her son who struggles with epilepsy. So I asked her if she had told her family yet, and this is what she said.
Not yet, but tomorrow morning, I'm going to get to wake my son up, and I'm going to get to tell him that he is going to get the medicine. And as a parent, I cannot think of anything more powerful than getting to look your child in the eyes and know all that went into this effort, and that we're in step one of that victory. And I can't wait to wake him up in the morning with that news, because there's been a lot of roadblocks and a lot of challenges. And my family and my kids and everyone else in this effort has sacrificed so much. But tomorrow morning when I wake him up, it's going to be one of the most amazing moments of my life, I've got to think. And I've got a huge smile right now thinking about that moment.
I asked her what it felt like to be someone who changed the letter of the law in the state, and she said it was surreal. Couldn't describe it.
Oh, sorry. I thought we had a clip there.
No.
Sorry.
We're all
reflecting. I was waiting for another clip from her.
That was a wonderful in-studio radio moment.
I'm sorry, Chase. That first one was so captivating. I was hoping we had a second one there. So, no, great stuff, though, from Krista Eggers. Absolutely. Quite a moment there with her. Wow. Yeah. Now, the reality of the situation is, of course, she didn't mention there, but they're waiting for a judge's decision on this, too.
So. I don't know how that'll turn out, especially with so many people voting for it.
Yeah. Yeah, it will. And as Tim and I talked about earlier, maybe it comes up again in the legislature. But for now, at least, it's got over this hurdle. It probably has more to come. So great work, Chase. Appreciate it.
Good stuff there from
Krista Eggers there. All right. Let's grab a break. We got a big chunk there. Why don't we grab a break, and why don't we go ahead and go to national here for a little bit? And basically, you're in a situation now. To summarize, Kamala Harris trailing in the blue wall state. She's got to win. She's got to win at this point. Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, where she's all trailing to have a shot at this thing. So I haven't been paying super close attention because I'm focusing on the local stuff. So we'll find out the latest on national right now. You're listening to Election Coverage, brought to you by James Arthur Vineyards on KLIN.
Let Lincoln know if your organization or business is impacted by the latest severe weather. Go under the closings tab and sign up at KLIN.com.